another European bid to build U.S. military planes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. A major European defense company has submitted a new proposal to build expensive aircraft for the U.S. Air Force. EADS makes Airbus planes, and the company's offer is just the latest in a big and bitter dispute over a $35 billion military contract. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What does Airbus want to build?
They want to replace the 179 of the U.S. Air Force tanker aircraft that are due to be replaced. These are the ones that refuel military planes in midair. Mm-hmm. Now, Boeing won the contract originally, but then lost it after a bribery scandal. Then EADS, which is, as you say, owns Airbus, won the contract along with an American partner. But this contract was cancelled after an uproar in Congress. Now EADS has submitted a solo bid.
And why has this contract been so bitter and disputed?
There have been allegations of blatant protectionism by the U.S. Department of Defense. Here's Howard Wealdon, a veteran defense analyst with BGC Partners.
I have never seen a competition that has been so one-sided towards the in-house party. The DOD seemed to go out of its way to favour the Boeing bid.
Now, I should add that both Boeing and EADS have lodged trade complaints with the WTO against each other about separate protectionist issues. So far, the Boeing complaint has been upheld. The EADS complaint is still under consideration.
And Stephen, what about those who argue the military should choose a company that would create American jobs? Boeing is an American company.
Yes, and it would create more jobs in the short term, but because the EADS admits it will only be building about 65% of the plane in the U.S. But the company says if it wins the deal, it'll build a new plant in Alabama, which could in time be building commercial aircraft, and that would create more U.S. jobs. The decision on this deal, by the way, is expected by November.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Google CEO Eric Schmidt now says he is confident China will allow the company to keep operating there. That's after the company pulled its search engine out of China, then fought to renew the license there. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Why is Google confident it'll stay? And why would China want the company to stay after all the theatrics? Some speculate regulators think Google's good for China. The company brings good jobs and know-how. Shanghai attorney Greg Pilarowski.
They do have research and development facilities here. That is something that China has always been very interested in encouraging from foreign technology companies.
This week, Google's largely blank China site added new icons for music and shopping and an internet license number. Chinese regulators, though, say they're still processing Google's application. If they approve, internet marketing consultant Lonnie Hodge thinks young people would cheer. They've had a taste of Google, and when they use the alternative Chinese search site,
they know when they go that maybe the whole front page of a search result is going to be nonsense. It's going to be stuff that somebody paid for.
Should Google stay, China's emerging internet market is 400 million people so far. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Let's see how overseas markets are doing. European shares are up 0.5%. Asian shares were higher today, about 1% there. A better-than-expected weekly jobless claims report helped bolster stocks here at home yesterday. The Dow climbed 120 points to close just under 10,139.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Congress gets back together next week after a holiday recess. One of the top agenda items, financial regulatory reform. Now, regulation has been in the news a lot lately, not only with Wall Street, but with offshore drilling. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice says over the years, deregulating certain industries has had its benefits and drawbacks. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
For decades, we've heard about deregulation, but with excesses on Wall Street, and then we've had this, you know, the mining disaster and the worst oil spill in history in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, are we heading for a new era of regulation?
Well, not exactly. Deregulation, starting in the 1970s, targeted government monopolies, airlines, trucking, utilities. Its goal was more competition and lower prices for consumers. Basically, it succeeded. Deregulation was never intended to create more health, safety, or environmental risk, or allow Wall Street to go haywire.
But is more regulation the answer, Bob? I mean, the SEC already had the power to prevent many Wall Street abuses. Same with the Minerals Management Service and BP.
Well, it's not the entire answer. The SEC's main problem was it didn't have the staff it needed to enforce the laws. At the Minerals Management Service, it was a cozy relationship with the oil industry. And even when laws are fully enforced, penalties may be so low that getting caught is just a cost of doing business. That's what happened at the Mine Safety Administration. It repeatedly cited Massey Energy before that terrible accident.
So is Congress and the White House gonna fix this?
Well, I'm skeptical. These aspects of regulation are invisible to the public. After a new law is passed, business lobbyists inevitably try to defang it by getting Congress to keep penalties low and cut the budgets of enforcement agencies. The problem is none of this becomes evident until there's a disaster.
So what's the answer then? What do we do?
One proposal, Steve, is to create a kind of super regulator in the White House or rely on the U.S. Inspector General to make sure all regulations are fully enforced. Another is to strengthen whistleblower laws so insiders can easily alert authorities when they're not being enforced. And still others want to rely more on civil litigation, you know, liability suits to police business. I expect all of these are going to be in the mix in the future.
A lot of ideas. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, now Professor of Public Policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, Japanese airline ANA will soon offer draft beer on flights within Japan. It says it's the first in the world to do so. There will be 20 total cups available for each flight, except for the Tokyo to Okinawa route, which will feature 40. Apparently, that's the party plan. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.